Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. We've got a great lineup for you this weekend as well. Let me get to our first sponsor. Summer's in full swing here in Florida, and it is hot. Not only are temperatures hot, grills are hot, and the deals are hotter than fire at Omaha Steaks. That's right. America's original butcher is heating up the summer with blazing hot deals on mouthwatering grilling favorites guaranteed to tantalize your taste buds. We stocked up, and you should too. For a limited time, you can get scorching savings on legendary flavor during the Hotter Than Fire sale at OmahaSteaks.com. Every package is carefully curated by the flavor experts at Omaha Steaks to deliver an exceptional experience, and they start at just $99. Plus, as a bonus to my listeners, get an extra $10 off with promo code Bongino at checkout. From exquisite steaks to legendary burgers, premium pork to air-chilled chicken, all my favorites, Omaha Steaks is guaranteed to make your summer worth savoring. Shop the Hotter Than Fire sale today and get exclusive savings on mouthwatering packages starting at just $99. Plus, get an extra $10 off with promo code Bongino at checkout. The offer is only available for a limited time, and you're not going to want to miss it, so shop today before these deals go up in smoke. That's OmahaSteaks.com, promo code Bongino at checkout. All right, coming up here first, Mike Benz. This was right after the debate, but Mike Benz is here to tell you don't get too excited, because if they want to cheat, the CIA and the deep state will. Check this out. But I want to welcome back to the show Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z. Follow him on social media. Mike, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Always great to catch up.
Likewise, I'm feeling good after last night, Mike, but, given all the propensity of the left and the deep state to cheat in elections, that's why I wanted to bring you on. That's why I don't get too excited about these things. So in 2016, Mike, the CIA, the intelligence community, deep state, and the FBI all collude to create a fake narrative that Donald Trump was colluding with the Russians, obviously made up, obviously a psychological operation being conducted against us. In 2020, the CIA, FBI return again on the Hunter Biden laptop letter, where they know the laptop is real, yet they allow this letter to be circulated. So my question to you, I follow you, I've been listening to all your stuff. What do you think's on the menu for 2024 now that the debate went poorly and they're probably going to have to save Joe Biden? What do you think happens with the deep state and the CIA?
Well, we still have this lurking variable about two things, about the status of the election machines and mass mail-in ballots to the extent that they are going to continue to be used in so many critical states. And then we also have this new issue around illegal aliens being able to essentially be shepherded in by NGOs and then have their votes essentially counted through ballot harvesting and through no checks on citizenship, and then only being able to get redress of that months after the election, which not only may not be able to be done in time to catch any fraud, but then also you have the lawfare against all the lawyers. I think a lot of lawyers this time around will be reticent to bring election integrity cases because so many critical, high-powered, amazing, high integrity lawyers like John Eastman and Jeff Clark and Rudy Giuliani have all been arrested simply for bringing the cases or have been disbarred. And so, you know, there is still this question about, frankly, you know, whether how citizens vote actually matters in a modern democracy. But I am heartened to see that the response from last night has been a roll call, essentially, of Democrat Party brass calling for somebody else besides Biden. That is all, you know, there was a moment where the New York Times, all four of the top most read trending articles on the New York Times this morning were calls by New York Times writers for somebody besides Biden. And that call itself suggests to me some lack of confidence about whatever tricks they have up their sleeve on election fraud, because as I see it, the only reason to actually unseat Biden at this point would be because he's failing for voters, not because he's failing for their own Democrat Party stakeholders. And so I don't know if they just don't have visibility into the election fraud issue or if they don't have the confidence they can pull off some of the sketchiness from last season.
We're talking to Mike Benz. It's B-E-N-Z. Look him up on social media, X, other platforms. Follow him. Subscribe. It is a PhD-level course in the deep state. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Mike, listen, this works both ways. You know, it was Chuck Schumer, you remember, who infamously told Rachel Maddow, the intelligence community will get you six different ways from Sunday if you mess with them. Why he would say that publicly just shows how stupid he is. However, he did give up the whole gambit there. Now, if this gets even worse for Biden, I mean, it's apocalyptically bad, but you made a good point with the cheating and illegals. You don't know what that is. That's why I don't let any red wave talk happen on my show. It is still possible even this fossil, Reverend Cain, Biden could pull this thing out. But if it gets worse, say there's, I don't wish ill will on anyone, but say he falls or something like that, or agrees to a second debate and it's even worse. Is it possible that the intelligence community that seems to love interfering in elections actually turns on him and says, hey, listen, we hate this other guy and these MAGA people, but brother, you got to go, man. You're destroying our sinecures here.
It is possible. You know, it's a very difficult process at this point because he's already been nominated and the process for undoing that is very cumbersome. And I don't know that there's a real clear successor who would step in and be as pliant. I think Biden's utility is that he's a total vassal. He has no real principles of his own. He has no real vision of his own. He's a guy whose entire career has been doing favors for stakeholders. And, you know, in his own words, he described himself as a prostitute. And in when he was 29 years old in the Senate, and he said it in the context of complaining about it, that he felt like he needed to be a prostitute to serve other people's interests. But, you know, presidents are strong-willed men for the most part. They tend to want to become president because they have a vision for however they want to make the world a better place. And I don't think that Biden actually has that. I think that, frankly, he was even a little bit reluctant to run in the first place. If you remember, it was the lack of having another Democrat Party leader who was as in the pocket of the blob for why they even went to Biden, I think, in the first place and were demanding that he ran. So I do think that he was a little bit of a reluctant person just because there was nobody else in the Democrat Party, which right now is so divided around DEI lines, is so divided around Israel-Gaza lines. I think that having someone who really threads it all and just gives everyone what they want all the time is a very unique quality that Biden and maybe Biden alone has. But getting back to the whole intelligence role in this, you know, I mentioned the role of illegal immigrant votes and how they don't need to cast the ballots. They simply need to have the NGOs who shepherded them right in do that. And that, to me, is intelligence work. And I'll tell you why. And this is something that I think few people really have enough vision on, which is, you know, there's an entity that we have that the Biden administration elevated for the first time ever to a perch on the National Security Council, where it now sits directly adjacent to the State Department, the Pentagon, and the CIA. And that's an entity called USAID. Now, USAID is the number one CIA covert funder in our entire arsenal. They actually get more money every year than the CIA, at least according to our, you know, according to the official budget. And almost all of the work that USAID does is to support either the State Department overtly or the CIA covertly. It's not a charity. It is a soft power influence vehicle. And the fact that it is USAID that is bringing in all of the illegal immigrants and that is sheltering them here and ostensibly would be the ones to do the ballot harvesting, to me, I x-ray through that and I say, well, heck, that's if this thing exists to serve the CIA – and this is what's bringing in all these potential illegal voters to swing a come from behind victory for the blob's boy. I look at what's happening with illegal voting with illegal voters as effectively being a CIA job.
Wow. Mike, I tell you, every time I talk to you, this is why I had you on today, because I don't want to, I'm hearing a lot of talk and not amongst you and, you know, my listeners are pretty serious people, but there's this small kind of almost swampy wing of the Republican Party playing by the old rules that think everything's legit. They're like, oh, this is great. Finally, landslide, red wave, New Jersey's in play. And I'm like you. Listen, when they get desperate enough, they do desperate things. Let me ask you one last question. The 51 intelligence officials' infamous laptop letter about Hunter's laptop, it's now been exposed for what you and I and the audience knew it was. It was obviously based on a totally false premise that this was a Russian op. Only a moron would believe that. The CIA doesn't seem remotely embarrassed about this at all. Burns or even former Haspel, you would think they would be coming out with full mea culpas here. I can't believe we got dragged into this, CIA contractors. But Mike, there's been almost no response with the media blob, no response from the CIA whatsoever outside of just some nonsense. They haven't even really put out any kind of serious public statement. I mean, they don't even sound apologetic about stealing the 2020 election.
Well, the CIA's job is to lie. They give out internal awards to members of the CIA Operations Directorate who are for operational security, for protecting a CIA cloak and dagger work against public disclosure. Now, this is something that they are designed to do. They are the only agency in our federal government who exists with a plausible deniability doctrine. When they lie in advance of something that advances agency interests, that is the greatest trait they have. Of course, they're not going to roll back on that. The guy who organized the letter was Tony Blinken. And who's Tony Blinken now? The head of the State Department, who the CIA effectively looked up to. Just how a spy lying to the, you know, to the Russians if they're undercover there, or lying to the, you know, random country X, they're doing their job. They are spies who lie. They are not going to walk that back because, as they see it, democracy is about the institutional consensus, not about the consensus of individuals. When they see Trump as a threat to their interests, they define their interests as U.S. national interests. So as they see it, the best thing that could happen to Russia would be Trump gets elected, because he might put the brakes on some of this Russia insanity and the Caesar Asia blueprint. And so from their perspective, they can argue that no matter the underlying truth of it, that it's beneficial to Russia to have Hunter Biden's operations get leaked. It's beneficial to Russia to have Joe Biden be discredited. And so from their perspective, it's a pro-Russian operation. Trump himself is a pro-Russian operation, even if he's never met a Russian in his life. And it's through this, you know, this lying apparatus that they all rose to power. They're not going to give it up now.
Yeah. Mike Benz, always spectacular. Folks, give him a follow. It's Benz, B as in boy, E-N, like Nancy Z. Mike Benz, follow him on X. Follow him on socials. Subscribe to his material. Watch his videos. They are so worth it. It's a free course, man. What's that? A Rumble. Please go to Rumble. Look up Mike Benz. Folks, seriously, I'm not messing with you. It is a PhD level course in the deep state. Guys like me who do this for a living, I learn something new every time I watch him. Every single time. Like, damn, how did I miss that angle? Mike, thanks so much for your time, brother. You're welcome back anytime. We appreciate it.
Talk soon. Bye.
You got it. And if you missed it, we will put that on. We have a weekend show on Rumble that we do in addition to our podcast. I think it's coming up next week. We did one. We will do one bi-weekly. We will definitely throw that on there too. Hey, I got more debate coverage coming up next. I just wanted to make sure that we gave you an objective analysis of where we are, okay? Because I'm hearing a lot of kind of red wave talk again from some people. It's the same mistake we made in the midterms. I promise you, in a couple weeks, celebrate today, enjoy yourselves, have a good weekend. But just keep this all in perspective. This story is going to go away in a week. Something's going to happen. There's going to be some terror attack around the world, and no one's going to remember any of this. So I just want to keep everybody straight that what wins elections is not debates, it's votes. And bring 10 people with you. Let's get to our next sponsor first. And I got another interview coming up with Jack Posobiec. You want to learn how to beat the commies? Well, he wrote a book on exactly that. Are you having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? Trust me, I've been there. I'm there a lot. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on every aspect of your life. But guess what? There's hope on the horizon. Comes in the form of Beams Dream Powder. The stuff's been a game changer for me. You see, when we're sleeping well, we can be sharper, more focused, and ready to tackle whatever life throws our way. And today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep's never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause the next day grogginess. We don't like that. But Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. You want to try it? Beams best-selling Dream Powder, where Beam is now offering Bongino listeners an exclusive discount. Get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shop, BEAM.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino for up to 45% off. ShopBeam.com/Bongino. Yeah, this is a pretty cool guy, man. Probably should have had him on the show sooner. But he has a new book out. His name is Jack Posobiec. It's about the commies who suck. Right, Jim? They suck. Like, they come. Okay, just that. It's about the history of commies sucking. And welcoming to the show, Jack Posobiec. Jack, commies really suck, don't they? And I guess your book documents the history of them sucking. I mean, there's a lot of sucking going on, isn't there?
Dan, thanks so much for having me on, man. Look, these guys suck worse than Joey Bag of Donuts. What can I say? And look, what people have to understand is not only do they suck, but unfortunately, it's that very same group of people that's gotten themselves into our country and into our institutions. They've been here for 60 years now. They came in through the State Department and FDR. We go through all that history, and that's who we're up against today. And I don't know why so many conservatives, present company excluded, are terrified of calling them for what they are.
Yes.
They are neo-Marxists. They are Bolsheviks. And when you look at the history of what this group of people has done to places like Spain, like the Bolsheviks in Russia, like the Bolsheviks in China, who are still in control, by the way, and all around the world, we document that. And then we give you chapter and verse how it's exactly what they're doing right now. So this isn't a time for us to sit around and say, oh, let's challenge these guys to a debate and we're going to go and, you know, have a lot of fun and point out this. And no, you have to come in and stop accepting them at good faith. I see so many establishment Republicans doing this. You have to treat them like a virus that needs to be rooted out completely. And that's why we talk about going after them in the institutions, in the government. It's not just the deep state. And listeners of the Dan Bongino show know the names, because Dan always teaches us to follow the names. This book,
yeah,
Unhumans, is step two. Follow the names. And guess what? That's going to be the list of indictments in about 6 months' time.
We're talking to Jack Posobiec. He has a new book out called Unhumans. It's about the history of sucky commies who we hate on this show proudly. We hate them because they hate America, and we hate people who hate America. Jack, is the book's still, what, July 2nd or so? You can pre-order it now, though, or you'll probably get it pretty quickly. Is that right?
Exactly. So we said, look, what better date to do this? Steve Bannon writes the foreword to it. It comes out July 2nd. Now, we didn't know when we asked Steve Bannon, who was instrumental in putting this book together, that the day before the book comes out, that Steve Bannon himself would be becoming potentially, and it looks like it's happening, himself a political prisoner of this communist Bolshevik regime that we're facing. So this might be the last chance you get to actually read anything from Steve Bannon. That's coming out on the 4th of July. So I said, what better date to juxtapose our freedom, our liberty, the values that we stand for with the godless communist atheists that we are facing right now. And as you read this book, just know that Steve Bannon, unless anything happens, unless an act of God changes things, will be a political prisoner at the same time.
Jack, the subtitle of your book is important. It's Unhumans, the Secret History of Communist Revolutions, and How to Crush Them. So let's talk about that a little bit, because you just said something I totally agree with. There are way too many people who claim our mantle, Republican, conservative, who really don't understand the fight. I call them the Washington Post op-ed crowd. They think if we write enough op-eds of the Washington Post and the New York Times trying to convince the communist left you and I are talking about that we're really nice people, that the eyes will be opened by the Washington Post editorial board and be like, oh my gosh, look, Jack and Dan and Mitt Romney and Jeff Flake, oh, they're really nice. Maybe we should consider them. When you understand that these people are communists, like you do in this book on humans, you understand that's not what they're interested in. They're interested in the taking of power, the abuse of said power, and the tyranny and authoritarianism that accompanies it. They're not interested in a negotiation. You can either get them out of power and remove them, or you'll be crushed. So how do we crush them?
Look, I mean, Dan, I knew that just by showing you the title of this thing that you, of all people, would not need any further explanation as to what I was talking about there. Because, and they say, why'd you call the book Unhumans? Isn't that, it's a little rough, Jack, that might be a little mean. And I said, no. I called them Unhumans because that's how they view us. They don't view conservatives and God-fearing Americans and patriots as human. They view you as an invasive species that's standing in the way of your utopia. And as we've learned, the communism is only one genocide away from their future utopia, which they promise is just one, you know, one more political prisoner, one more round of gulags around the corner. It never comes. But, you know, it does happen. Piles of skulls everywhere they go. So to answer your question, here's what we argue for. A little word that conservatives need to remember. It's an old word, Dan. It's a word I know that you know. That word is called reciprocity. Reciprocity. And that which is done to us will be done back to you tenfold. So to the Merrick Garlands and the Lisa Monacos and the Jack Smiths and, yes, Strzok, Page, all the rest. By the way, up in Pennsylvania, I have a new list of names for my list now, because they're now running ads. These Democrats are running ads in Pennsylvania telling people that Donald Trump doesn't want people to vote early because they're taking stuff that he said out of context and putting it up on TV with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the Democrat Senator Bob Casey, his brother, is paying for the ads. And so I said, great. Yeah. Well, you guys are putting a guy in jail for posting a meme that was a joke about Hillary Clinton voters should vote by text. That he did that in 2016. You guys are putting him in jail, 7 month sentence over a meme. I said, great. We're going to prosecute all of you for the exact same crime. And so that's what it is. Exact reciprocity. The things that the deep state and all of these dirty critters and criminals have done to us will be meted to every single one of them. And it's just that simple. And we're never going to get our country back until we do this. Because, Dan, I know you know this, and I know your listeners know this. These unhumans will not stop on their own. They're not going to listen to our op-eds. No. They're not going to read our speeches.
No.
They want to remove us, so we've got to respond in the only language they understand.
We're talking to Jack Posobiec, author of the new book, Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions and How to Crush Them. That's the most important part. Excuse me. Sorry, Jack. Couldn't agree with you more. You know, I've tried to explain to folks over and over, and I think it's our experience kind of inside the government and seeing the beast up close, that these folks aren't interested in reason, pointing out that they're hypocrites. Oh, my gosh, you're putting Donald Trump in jail or trying to for a Presidential Records Act fake violation while Joe Biden stole documents and never even. It just seems kind of hypocrite. They're like, no, it's not hypocrisy. We're in charge and you're not. This is what we do. We abuse power. And I made the case to you that the irony of the whole thing, or to the audience, excuse me, I think the case you're making too, is we don't even need to abuse power. Like, there's enough actual criminality or suspected criminality on the left that all we need to do, like, well, I'm sorry, but long-winded, but this is really important. Like, you talked about the list before. I saw Sean Davis and you, and I'm all for this too. We need a list of people within the government who've abused their power to get rid of. The left is freaked out. Oh my gosh, a list. But like, you idiots have a list of people you put in jail on fake crimes, and you're worried about us firing the people that did it? Like, you're such freaking clowns and jokers. It's like embarrassing, but they don't care. All they care about is hierarchy.
Look, I love this because, and we actually took, so when Andy McCabe is up there crying and saying, I'm looking at booking flights out of the country, I said, well, but you better find a country that doesn't have extradition, Andrew McCabe, because he got 6 months left.
Good.
And look, at the end of the day, what they did, and we have a whole chapter on January 6th and what they did to the J6ers. And I was there. I saw flashbangs and stun grenades thrown at a peaceful crowd. And I said, what is going on? And that's all detailed in here. And what we realized is going through the history, because we go back to the French Revolution, even, which was proto-communist, but a lot of the same stuff comes from all the way back then. And everybody remembers this, the Bastille. They say the storming of the Bastille, and they got the political prisoners out, et cetera, et cetera. I said, wait a minute, though. What they did with January 6th was an inverse Bastille, because what they did was they turned all the patriots into political prisoners, because they said that with this operation, which was run as a Fed's direction, they were then able to use the stingrays, use all the devices that you and I are very familiar with to collect everyone's cell phone data. They're getting your IMSI numbers. Now they know exactly who was marching up and down the street. And it's not just about the grounds. They know who was on the street. They know who was at the Ellipse. They know every single person. By the way, Secret Service and DHS already had that information, as you well know. So then they hand that over to DOJ. Now they're just going through the list. Okay, these are the most fervent supporters. We're going to go after them. These people are guys. We're going to set them over here. You're never going to hear about their names. Don't let Darren Beattie, you know, talk about Ray Epps or any of this stuff. And then you just go down the list and you start arresting all of the patriots. You then go after all the religious leaders. And then eventually you use that a show trial committee to go after people like Peter Navarro, who's currently in jail, to go after Stephen K. Bannon, who is the president's chief strategist. And then you try to use that same thing to strike him from the ballot. This is a system that goes all the way back to the French Revolution 250 years ago. And because we have cracked the code, we've really cracked the communist code just by going through the history. And it's short, you know, each chapter is one country. And we explain how all the things that you're seeing right now go back to a system that they created 250 years ago. And so what we then explain is, here's how you break the system. Here's how you throw this hand in the gears, and you completely have to turn the tables against them. They will never, ever stop on their own. You want to see what happens if you leave them to their own devices? Go look at China and Russia and see how that worked out.
We're talking to Jack Posobiec. He has a new book out, Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions and How to Crush Them. You know, Jack, I want your opinion on this. I get this a lot. And listen, if you disagree, you disagree. You know, you and I have known each other a long time, and just fire away. But sometimes I'll get social media messages or emails. I like to leave the emails open and to get a good input from my audience. And they say, you know, we shouldn't be out there in public protesting. The left is just going to infiltrate again. They're going to start trouble and they're going to put everybody in jail. And I always respond back, are you insane? Like, that's the point. The left wants you to distrust your neighbors so that you willingly give up your own God-given big R rights, like the right to assemble. That's not the answer. The answer is to be cautious, be careful. Don't let provocateurs into your movement. If you see something in your movement you think is suspicious, get away, back away, call it out. But to preemptively forfeit your constitutional rights, like, oh, we're not going to assemble anymore because they're inserting provocateurs in there, that's exactly what they want. That's how they own the streets.
That's precisely right. So I think there's ways to do it, because it's twofold, right? So the response to January 6th, and it has committed to a silencing effect, a chilling effect on our ability to mobilize in the street. It certainly has, and there's no question. That's why I love the fact that Donald Trump is holding the rallies again. He's going all over the place. I was just with him in North Philly at my own alma mater, Temple University. Right, I used to be the college Republican chairman there 20 years ago, and that was incredible because you saw all walks of life there. So I love that Trump is himself stepping into the breach and saying, if I go there, you can go there. If I go to these places like the South Bronx, like North Philly, et cetera, that you can follow me. What I would argue, what I would claim to say as and we talk about this in the book, is that I want people, look, you got to understand, you have to be the sheriffs of your territory, the sheriff of your territory. And I don't mean like law enforcement, et cetera. You know, neighborhood watch is great and all, but I'm talking about, you have to be the one who's holding the backyard barbecues. You have to be the one, men form small groups of men to just kind of keep an eye out, just keep an eye out on things, what's going on, people moving in, people coming out, that type of thing, and understand what it is. And then when it comes time, by the way, to do a Trump, a Trump thing, you just do flash mobs. You do a quick flash mob on the corner. Especially, by the way, if you're in one of these swing states like Pennsylvania, where I'm from, you just pop up there in a place where you know everybody, but you don't really tell people beforehand that it's going to be some big event. So you kind of have a general sense of all the people who will be there. At the same time, you got to watch out for people. This is what we did in 2016. And so at the same time, you never know that people will show up. But I do think that this movement, because of everything the movement's been through since the days when I was getting my teeth cut in 2016, going through all of this to now, we've gotten a lot smarter. We've gotten a lot wiser. And people knew. People even knew when they saw Ray Epps and others on January 5th, the night before. People were chanting, Fed, 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 Fed.
So you can watch the video. Like it's not hidden. You can go look on X right now and see the video.
Yeah, so it's got to be stuff like that you really have to be able to be cautious, but at the same time, understand that you're in a fight against a committed group of people. And I've gone up against Chaz, I've gone up against Antifa. People know my track record, that I've infiltrated them a number of times, and so they're definitely doing it to us. There's no question. But you've got to call it out when you see something. I like the idea of flash mobs. And by the way, not just small groups. When I said small groups of men, I don't want to leave the ladies out, because we also talk about the groups of moms that are
absolute warriors
and have been
Jack. You see it on social media. the women in the MAGA audience, they are fierce, man. They are MAGA Amazons. They're MAGAzons. They are like, really, they put some guys to shame. So, Jack, I want to get a promotion in for your book.
Urban areas. Let's do it.
100%. God bless you, ladies.
Top level.
We love you.
Elon, Donald Trump, the women, the ladies, everybody's got to get on the line for this thing because we've got, what, 4 months? We've got 4 months to decide, are we going to let the unhumans control our country or are we going to be a nation of free people?
And guys, just so you know, I love you too. Don't buy into this toxic masculinity crap. Be proud of your testosterone. Love it. Max it out. Top off the tank. He is Jack Posobiec. The book is Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions and How to Crush Them. That's the most important part. Jack, you're welcome back anytime. Thanks for coming on. Come back on when the book comes out, all right? We'll talk to you soon.
Let's do it, man.
All right. Jack Posobiec. I told you, it's worth your time, right? Good man right there. How to Crush Them. Because, Jim, commies do what? They suck better than anyone. They have a 100% success record. Commies? No. Yes, of failing. Yes. No one has been better at failing than commies because they what, Jim? They suck. Yes, sir. Hope you're enjoying the show. This is one of your favorites. Everybody loves Julie Kelly. But first, our next sponsor. The storms in Texas have been crazy the last few weeks. I've been reading about the catastrophic flooding. Bottom line, be prepared in the event of emergency. Have a Jace. It is right here. Here's mine. Have a Jace case on hand. What is it? It's a case of emergency. It's a case of emergency antibiotics everyone should have no matter where you live. Eventually, disaster strikes. The Jace case is a personalized emergency medication kit that contains essential antibiotics and medication that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. You're not going to be prepared without one. Go to jacemedical.com. It's like vase with a J. Fill out the online form. View the terms. Have a Jace medical physician evaluate your request. If eligible, your medications are dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. It's jacemedical.com. Enter code Bongino to get a discount. Hurricane season's around. You've got a whole bunch of geopolitical disasters going on. Do not get caught unprepared. All of this stuff, you name it. Be ready. Be prepared for an emergency. I'm stocked up. Jace handles everything from the initial online evaluation to medication delivery and ongoing care if I want it. Get your customized case today by going to jacemedical.com and our code Bongino. That's jacemedical.com, code Bongino, J-A-S-E medical.com. Jace Medical and its products are not intended to substitute for professional medical treatment or advice. Consult with your healthcare provider. Thanks, Jace Medical. The Mar-a-Lago raid, it turns out, yes, back in the news because it's even worse than you thought. It is. Yes, it is. Here's Julie Kelly. Well, whenever we have questions about the deep state, ongoing police state war on Donald Trump, we go to one of the best journalists out there. There are actual people out there doing actual journalism. You just need to follow them and find them. And it's really important we use this show to spread the word. One of them is Julie Kelly. You can find her on X at Julie_Kelly, the number two. She also has a Substack, which is fantastic. Highly recommended. And she's a frequent guest to the show. Julie, welcome back. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Dan, thanks so much for having me on. Before we start, can I give a shout out to my childhood friend? Her nickname is Bumble. She's a huge, huge fan of yours. She texted me this morning wanting to know if I was going to be on. Her real name is Kathleen, but I'm not giving it out so the feds don't track her down. But hey, Bum, we've been friends since sixth grade, so big fan of yours.
Well, yes, of course. You are always welcome to do whatever shout out you'd like. You are very generous with your time. And I am very honored that your friend thinks that the show is worth hearing. I am frequently stunned. Anybody gives a damn what Dan Bongino has to say about anything, but apparently they do. So thank you all.
Yes, they
and
do.
Everybody cares about what you have to say too. Julie, we'd be lost on this Mar-a-Lago case without you. So you've been following the case up in the courthouse in Florida, and each day seemingly you're up there, there's a new bombshell. Let's get right to it. The pictures we all saw of the Mar-a-Lago raid. Classified documents, Julie, all over the floor. I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Cover sheets, top secret. And now appears that those cover sheets were actually not there and were brought in by the FBI and the photo was staged. Explain if you could.
Exactly. So we all remember that infamous photo from the end of August 2022, a few weeks after the raid. So you see these folders sprawled out on the floor. You see these red and yellow cover sheets, you know, classified top secret next to a box at Mar-a-Lago. It was an exhibit in a lawsuit in a response by DOJ to Donald Trump's special master lawsuit. So we were all, not us on the right, of course, we weren't fooled, right? We knew right away that that looked like a staged photo, but, you know, half of America and all of the press believed it. So fast forward now to a month or so ago, we finally find out from DOJ and Jack Smith that, to your point, the cover sheets, the classified cover sheets, were brought by FBI agents to the raid at Mar-a-Lago. Now, their first explanation, Dan, was, oh, we brought these cover sheets to use as quote-unquote placeholders in boxes where classified documents, national security information, government papers were found. So they would take that paper out. They would replace it, allegedly, with this placeholder cover sheet. Okay, well, we don't buy that either, right? Because then what he admitted in his filing on Monday, as this is proceeding in Southern Florida, where I was at this hearing Monday and Tuesday, is, oh, by the way, they did attach these cover sheets. The ERT, Emergency Response Team agents, took photos of it for evidence, and then we don't know what happened after that. So he finally admits that not only were the FBI agents armed with these, armed with firearms and handcuffs and other things, but also bringing these prop cover sheets to produce exactly the images that we saw in August of 2022, and now new ones that have been filed in the latest DOJ response.
Now, Julie, again, for some reason, you and I, you know, we chat a lot, just cannot seem to fathom. There are a group of people out there, I'm not even mentioning because I don't even care. The only person I care about is you and your work.
Thank you.
They just can't seem to let this go. This was not standard operating procedure. I will stipulate a point that bringing cover sheets for classified information, bringing them is not unusual. However, they had no idea the information was classified, number one, no idea. Second, staging a photo, which they obviously knew the Department of Justice and the FBI leadership would be leaked to the media to precondition a jury to believe he had stolen classified documents. We didn't see this, by the way, at the Biden place, by the way. You only saw this at the Trump place. If that is not indicative of not misfeasance, but malfeasance, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. You've been thoroughly indoctrinated into some bizarre, you know, line of thinking that I really can't help you.
Dan, it's so frustrating again, and these are the former feds who kind of act, they've ingratiated themselves in the MAGA movement and conservative media sphere all of a sudden after details of this egregious, dangerous armed raid came out, they start defending DOJ and FBI that somehow this is standard operating procedure, and they did it again yesterday. Now, these are uninformed people. They have no familiarity with this case. Dan, I have followed this since the special master lawsuit. I read almost every single court document in that case and since then. The cover sheets were not brought, as these former feds say, to protect the information underneath. You know, of course, they had to take pictures of evidence. That's not even what Jack Smith or the DOJ said before Jack Smith. They said they found the documents with the cover sheets. Then they said the cover sheets were brought as placeholders.
Right.
They never said that they were there to protect underlying classified material. This was a stunt. It was used as a prop. It is tampering with evidence. This is not standard operating procedure by any means. And to your point, they didn't do this in the Biden case. We saw all of the report. We saw the boxes where they found. We didn't see classified red and blue and yellow cover sheets that were placed in Biden's sloppy boxes where they pulled out, you know, the Afghanistan war plans. So, I mean, this is all, the more that this unravels, the worse that it looks. And that is why, again, kudos to Judge Eileen Cannon, that she is taking all of the heat, as we know. Is she not tough as nails and putting DOJ's feet and Jack Smith's feet to the fire, we would know none of this.
Yeah. And you know, I made the point earlier on the show and on the podcast as well. The point that they staged this photo, then clearly lied about why they had those cover sheets on there or changed their story. I'll even give them the benefit of that. Changed their story at a minimum three times about why they did it. while never doing it at the Biden residence. And the important point here is they didn't even know the information was classified, Julie.
That's right.
The example of a Secret Service motorcade. It's classified before the motorcade happens, but not after. I'm not saying it wasn't classified. I'm just saying they didn't know. So staging a photo op is clearly meant to influence public opinion. It's a political move, not a law enforcement one. Let me get to your second tweet, though. Follow Julie. She's at Julie_Kelly, the number 2. She also has a Substack. This one I find even more devastating. Apparently, the FBI ordered that the security cameras at Mar-a-Lago be turned off. Now, Julie, this is a tough question I asked Jim. I don't want to put you on the spot. But why do you think they would have security cameras at Mar-a-Lago? If you need a minute, Julie, to think about it, you can take a second. Jim took a while. Why do you think they'd have them?
I don't know. I mean, if Jim couldn't figure it out, I can never figure it out.
Not a chance it could be actual security.
The reason why the DOJ and FBI wanted the security cameras turned off for agent safety. That's what we're told.
Hilarious.
Right.
For agent safety. They're literally there for agent premises and protectee safety. So you have this in your tweet. You have the actual court documents. So no one's going to, it's a conspiracy theory. Julie, the security cameras are there for a reason. The Secret Service doesn't have enough personnel to control access to the entire grounds. Okay. So when you shut the cameras off, you're compromising security. So the point I want you to address here is all of the former Fed guys who are going, oh, no, this is all SOP and whatever, and ignoring this stuff. What they're doing is they're only seeing one side. Here was one federal priority, serving the search warrant. But the other federal government priority, the Secret Service works for the federal government, is keeping protectees safe and alive. They're totally ignoring that side of the ledger, and all of the problems are asymmetric. The FBI caused all of these problems. None of this stuff had to be done.
None of it had to be done because, of course, Donald Trump had been cooperating with the archives throughout 2021. He voluntarily turned over 15 boxes of documents. In May of 2022, Jay Brett, who is now the lead prosecutor for Jack Smith, brought 3 Washington field office, the most corrupt FBI field office in the country, brought 3 of them to Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump delayed his relocating to Bedminster for the summer so he could greet Jay Brett and these 3 FBI thugs at Mar-a-Lago on June 3rd of 2022, said, whatever you need, we'll help you with. In fact, there's reporting in one of the court documents that Donald Trump's lawyer, I believe it was Evan Corcoran, told him, don't let these guys down by the storage area where these boxes are. They're snooping around. And Donald Trump overruled his own attorney and said, no, they can look wherever they want. Now, this is June 3rd. 2 months later, you execute this unprecedented armed 9-hour raid with 30 agents rummaging not just through the office and storage area where they were told, but Melania's private bedroom suite, Barron, who was 16 years old at the time, his bedroom. This was an issue yesterday in the hearing. So there is no defending any aspect of this, Dan. And to your point, what we said last month, anyone who does, you should unfollow them. You should never listen to them. And they should be run out of what they consider our side, because that's poison.
Yeah, I've become very, very suspect. And, like I said, I never fall in love with people. I fall in love with outcomes. If you have information that's useful, I'm happy to help you out. But when you become not useful and harmful, I got to let you go. Julie, last question for you. We're talking to Julie Kelly. Check out her Substack. I saw that on your Twitter feed yesterday, which I follow religiously, that Judge Eileen Cannon seemed to have a real beef with them rummaging through Barron and Melania's room, saying, did you really have probable cause to believe there were classified documents in Barron's sock drawer? I mean, this seems, again, defending this is an abomination. This was clearly done to intimidate and not done for any legitimate law enforcement purpose.
That's right. And so this was yesterday a motion to dismiss or try to suppress the evidence collected at the Mar-a-Lago raid. And Judge Cannon seemed very skeptical at the end of the hearing that she would suppress this evidence at this stage anyway. But she did push David Harbaugh, who is Jack Smith's other lead prosecutor. Was there probable cause to rummage through a child's bedroom And he said, no, but it would have been egregious if the FBI agents hadn't, because we knew boxes had been moved. And so we couldn't leave any stone unturned. And of course, she didn't seem to buy that. But now we have DOJ on the record as to confirming that they rummaged through his room. They took photos of his room. And they took at least 24 photos in Melania, her bedroom suite. We don't know of what, but it's in the photo log. What were they taking pictures of her private suite if
it's
you
gross.
Didn't find any documents there?
It's gross. And Julie, I got to run, but as you well know, they're making two competing cases, the Bureau, that, oh my gosh, Donald Trump was so careless, he left these classified documents out in the open. Anyone could have walked by him or said, look, he wasn't storing these things properly. And then you're saying, on the other hand, but he was so cryptic about it, he may have hidden them in Melania Trump's underwear drawer. Really? Like, you understand how ridiculous those stories are, correct? I mean, it's just dumb. You know,
that is such a good point. That's such a good point. He was really hiding them in her drawer and Barron's, you know, under his Peloton. But then they also were next to his Diet Coke, you know, in his office.
Julie said I made a good point.
You made it.
I want that on loop.
Feel it. I'm going to tweet it before you do. I'm going to
tweet it out. Dan Bongino made it. I want that on tape, Jim. I want that on loop. Every time I say something smart, Jim, I want to hear Julie's voice in your opinion. I want that clip. Just she's like the reverse Sir Leslie Stahl. This is like the one. I want that there. I want that's a good point in Julie's voice. Julie Kelly, check her out on X. She's at Julie_Kelly too. She has a Substack as well. It's pretty fantastic. If you're not following her, I'm sorry, you're just not getting the straight skinny on the Mar-a-Lago debacle. Julie, you're awesome. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
You're the best, Dan. Thanks, Jim.
You got it. She's the best. You got that? I want that on loop every single time. All right, folks. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I changed my mind at the last minute. We did this interview, and I'm recording this actually right after the interview is conducted because it was so good with Sean Davis from The Federalist. He talks about this brain tattoo moment. This is the key takeaway. Hey, summer's right around the corner, so are those visible dark marks, sunspots, and other blemishes that the sun leaves behind until now. The revolutionary Dark Spot Corrector from our friends at GenuCell Skincare can help visibly fade away dark marks, sunspots, scars, and other signs of discoloration all over your skin. With three cutting-edge ingredients, help those visible signs of aging disappear right before your eyes. You'll be amazed at how quickly you can see results. You can now enjoy your summer sun, beach, and barbecues without those pesky spots. As always, you'll see the results or your money back. No questions asked. And right now, get your dark spot corrector with every GenuCell Skincare most popular package for over 70% off. Plus, save an extra 25% off automatically applied at checkout for world-class skincare that works guaranteed or your money back. Order yours right now and get the Gen 90 Instant for immediate results on all of your trouble spots in as little as 12 hours. GenuCell.com/Dan, GenuCell.com/Dan, GenuCell.com/Dan. Get a free spa box with two bonus gifts and free shipping. GenuCell.com/Dan. People don't win elections. Commercials don't win elections. Voters don't win elections. You know what wins elections? Ballots. If you're curious about what that means, listen to this. Only the best guests. We don't have a lot of guest segments because there's not a lot of great guests out there. But this guy's one of them. We had Mike Benz before. And I don't really trust anyone with political analysis. It's a handful of people. But Sean Davis is one of them. He is the co-founder of The Federalist. It's an amazing website. The Federalist, you should be reading it every day. All the best insights into politics. Sean, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me back on.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome here anytime. And you and I watched this debacle last night. For them, not for us. But Sean, I had said yesterday on my show that, candidly, I think the best outcome for us is almost a push, where Donald Trump has his moment, Biden has his moment. And I say that for a very specific tactical reason. If we had annihilated Biden like we did last night, who just humiliated his party, his family, everyone, the country, the cosmos, the Star Trek audience, Star Wars, the Empire, everyone's humiliated. I mean, young children, dogs. He humiliated every sentient amoebas, single-celled organisms. The problem is, now there's going to be a push to get rid of this guy. But I follow you on social media because you're the best. And on Twitter, you have a great tweet up right now on X. And you describe two specific problems to getting rid of Biden. First, the logistics problem. And second, the political one. So can you dig into the logistics one first? It's not that easy, right? You can't just go, oh, we're done with Biden. Bring us in someone else.
Right, exactly. Because it's not like he just, you know, hops out or gets forced out and then everything's fine and all the ballots are good and they have their new nominee everywhere. Things actually have to be done mechanically and legally to make that happen. And it's not something that happens in one venue because we actually have 50 different state elections plus D.C., so, you know, 51 for electing a president. That's a whole bunch of different jurisdictions with different laws, with different requirements, with different deadlines for ballots. Now, I'm not saying Democrats can't get that done because I'm reminded often of what they did in New Jersey. And I think it was 2002, maybe in 2000 with the Robert Torricelli race. This was a crooked Democrat senator in New Jersey. I think he was about to get indicted. He was a dead man walking politically. And even though they were just weeks out from the election and all the state laws said, no, you can't swap people out, the state Supreme Court on behalf of Democrats came in and said, yeah, no, we're just going to change everything unilaterally. We're going to put this guy Frank Lautenberg on there and everything's going to be good. And it all worked for them. But doing that across 50 states, it's going to be a hard lift. It's not impossible. It's a hard lift. I think their bigger problem is political. And it starts and ends with one person, which is Kamala Harris. And the big problem is I don't think they can pull off rhetorically or politically removing Biden as nominee while keeping him as president. I think that's untenable. I know the lines they would say, oh, yeah, I'm fine, but I won't be fine in 5 years and for the good of the country, blah, blah, blah. That dog ain't going to hunt. So I don't think they can just push him aside while keeping him as president, which means he would have to resign, which means you end up with Kamala as president. Who's a moron and who's extremely unlikable and who was so detested by her own party that when she ran for president, she had to drop out before a single primary voter even cast his or her ballot. So you can't have her in there. She's electoral kryptonite. So then the party will be in the position of having to put in someone else, not the first female president, who's also black, by the way. And it creates an absolute nightmare for a party that's entire foundation is racial and sexual identity politics.
We're talking to Sean Davis. Please give him a follow on X and social media. He is a co-founder of The Federalist, another great site. Sean, you absolutely hit the nail on the head with the political problem. The logistics thing, I agree with you. I think the blue states will figure out some scheme, but the red states and the swing states are going to have a problem if they try to get Biden off the ballot. But on the political front, there are two things you got going here. You brought up one of them in your X post, in your post on X. You brought up the fact that you're essentially invalidating the voting choice of the Democrat Party, where Democrat voters, for better or for worse, showed up in primaries and said, Reverend Cain, the oatmeal god, they said, si se puede. They said, Joe Biden and Surgeon Dr. Jill, you know, doing her rounds today, that this is our team. So you bring up in your post, and it's pretty hard to call the GOP the election deniers when, you know, I hate the word literally, but you literally held an election, you picked this guy, and then a bunch of insiders were like, nah, he's not the guy anymore. Kind of rough.
Yeah, they had 50-plus elections to elect this guy, and when you've been bleeding nonstop for 4 years about our sacred democracy and election deniers, I mean, they have no shame. So, and to them, words don't have fixed meanings like they do for us. Words are just weapons in their war for power. So it's not beyond them to just be like, hey, yeah, we're actually we're going to deny all the elections now. But it creates a big, big problem for them rhetorically and politically. But I left one little clause in my X post, which actually worries me a great deal. I said, all this is a problem for them if they want to get rid of Joe Biden, as long as he's still alive. And we all know what the deep state is willing to do. Okay. They did it 60 years ago. They did it again to that guy's brother. We watched them stage a long running coup, which is still ongoing against Donald Trump. Nothing is beyond these people. And I am genuinely frightened for our country right now, because the next 4 to 6 months are going to be an extremely perilous time, because the deep state is like a cornered wild animal. The more risk it faces, the more dangerous it becomes. And these people are not just going to say, you know what, props to the other side, they won this one, we'll give them 4 years and then we'll try again. They are not going to give up power without a fight, and I'm genuinely worried for what they are willing to do between now and January to retain their grip on power.
We're talking to Sean Davis from the Federalist. Sean, I'm absolutely sure of it that there's some swamp roading out there. You know, we're on in one of our big stations is WMAL in D.C., which we love, but there's a lot of swamp rodents around there. And they're probably listening going, oh, my gosh, how can these two lunatics say that? I mean, there are red lines people just won't cross. And I really, which one? Putting a former president in a dingy courtroom in Manhattan with a left-wing judge and a Twinkies-eating slob of a left-wing DA, a judge, by the way, whose daughter's making money off a fake criminal case never tried in human history, where you convict him on a fake trial and a sham trial, where you convict and violate attorney-client privilege so he can't even get a lawyer. You make up fake charges the Supreme Court even had to throw out today with 15, 12. I mean, I get a real kick. And it's a nasty one because it hurts every single time out of these morons in the swamp who go, the deep state guys would never do that, bro. I mean, there's certain lines they won't cross. Really? Which one? Love to hear it.
They have no lines they won't cross. You know, we know what they did to Kennedy. We know what they did to his brother. We know what they did to Nixon. I mean, you want to talk about a coup. Watergate was a textbook one. We saw what they did with Trump in the first term with Russiagate. Then they tried again with Ukraine hoax and they did it again with J6. They're trying now to put him in prison because all that stuff wasn't even enough to keep him down. These people have no red lines because they have no morals. Their only aim is power, and they will do everything and they will do anything to keep it. That's what they've proven. And that's what I find so scary, because they are on the cusp right now of losing, and they are going to be losing after they have shown to all of us what they're willing to do, which puts them at extreme risk.
I can prove what you just said is true. We're talking to Sean Davis from The Federalist. We had Mike Benz on right before you, and he loves breaking down the deep state. He does it in a very simple, kind of elegant way. And I said to him, you know, Mike, 2016, the CIA, FBI, and the deep state invent the collusion hoax to steal an election. Doesn't work. We win. 2020, they've done more, but we'll keep it simple. 2020, they come back with the infamous Hunter laptop letter, another fake intelligence op being run on us that we paid for with our tax dollars. So I said, you know, Mike, you have any theories about what could be up next? And he's like, listen, everything is absolutely on the table for them. This is existential. You know, Trump's coming into office for the second time. He knows where the bodies are buried this time. He knows the personnel problems from last time. I've asked him about it on the air. He's coming in there with a body of experience and a group of people, advisors and people who list. They listen to people like you and they understand. They're not listening to the swampies anymore. Those days are over. You have any idea about what could be on the menu next with these guys? He thinks it's going to be some voter fraud using NGOs and illegals.
Oh, gosh, I think they're way more creative than that. And I actually I worry that I lack the creativity that left has. I remember I was at the State of the Union in 2020, and I walked out of that saying, this guy's getting reelected in a landslide. He blew the roof off of that room. And you know what happened in the weeks that happened afterwards? They used a virus which they created. Okay, the U.S. helped fund the creation of this gain-of-function virus in China. It leaked. It killed a bunch of people. They denied where it came from. They weaponized it against Trump. They censored all of us who said, hey, this looks kind of fishy. I think this thing might have come out of China. They censored all of us. They used it all as an excuse to rig an election, and it all worked. Never in a million years when I walked out of that Capitol building in February of 2020 would I have thought, yeah, these guys are actually going to weaponize a virus they created to take over the economy so that they can get rid of Trump and take the government back over. That was incomprehensible to me. So I just want people aware and thinking that these people are not beyond doing anything, even if their capacity for evil is greater than our own imaginations.
Sean, last question. I'll let you go. Thanks for your time. I'm talking to Sean Davis from The Federalist. Please give him a follow on social media. This is why I said today, celebrate today, enjoy yourselves. We've been through a lot over the last 3 years. The Chevron case, the Supreme Court, big win. The 1512 case, big win. The debate last night, huge win. Enjoy yourselves. Independence Day is coming up. We still live in the greatest country on earth. I know you absolutely agree with that. But I'm having you and Benz on today specifically I don't want to hear any red wave talk. However bad you think Biden is, it'll get worse. He's going to fall again. I don't wish it on him, but you know what's going to happen. But they can still pull a rabbit out of their hat. So I'm not crazy, right? Tamping down just a bit of the optimism. Enjoy today, but be ready for a fight. This ain't going to be easy.
No, you're exactly right. And I've said it on social media and on the pages at the Federalist. Yeah, these polls are nice and these macro factors pointing to a Trump win are nice. None of that wins elections. Votes don't even win elections anymore. People don't win elections. Ballots win elections. So what we can put aside what the deep state might do, we know what the Democrats are going to do. They're going to try and flood the system with ballots. Our side has to understand that polls don't win, commercials don't win, macro dynamics don't win elections. Only ballots do. So you are exactly right to tamp down the victory and talk and the pre-celebration and the measuring of drapes. We're not even close.
Right. That, folks, just that's another brain tattoo moment, okay? Ballots win elections. That is the, we've got to absolutely swamp this thing. However bad you think it is, assume we're down 10. Sean Davis, always a great guest. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
You know what, Jim? I changed my mind. We're adding Sean to that show, too. Can you add that? I'll just record another. If you missed any of that, that was really awesome. We got a weekend show. Is it this weekend, Jim, on Rumble? No, next weekend. Okay, on my Rumble account, rumble.com/Bongino. We're adding that because that was really good. Ballots win elections. We got to swamp this thing. Hey, we got a great rant for you, too. I was on a roll the day after the debate. Why? Because I was in a good mood. You know, we had a rough 3 years. The day after the debate, we all deserve to kind of take a drink. I mean, a non-alcoholic one or whatever one you want. Just be safe and definitely don't drink and drive. It's terrible. Listen to this rant. I think you're really going to like it. Check this out. He's doing it again. He's doing who's that? Who's he? Joe Biden. He's out there right now. You would think after last night, he'd be doing what? Hold up back in the White House. With serious people going, listen, man, last night was a debate apocalypse. I had no kids to sniff. There were no women to grope. I was stuck on the stage without someone whispering in my ear. I kept playing with my ear. I don't really know. We got to decide what to do. No, no. In a stunning, stunning turn of events benefiting the MAGA crowd and the conservative movement, Joe Biden is out in North Carolina, decimating the political environment in North Carolina for anyone underneath him on the ticket. And he's doing what? He's screaming again. I'm Big Pharma! You did what? Wait, who? You beat Big Papa? Like Biggie? Biggie, can't you? Who? Biggie's dead. What did you do, a rap-off? Oh, pharma. Oh, I thought he said papa. Biggie, can't you see? No one can understand this guy. Big Papa. It's like a rap off in Brooklyn. Weird. He's screaming like a lunatic again. And they got him enhanced again. You ever see Logan? That's a great comic book movie. You ever see Logan, the Hugh Jackman Wolverine guy? Jim, remember the end? They give him like the green juice, the injection, and he's like, ah! And it only lasts like 20 minutes and he's dead. Is that, did they give him the green juice? Jim said, spoiler alert. I'm sorry if you didn't see. Hey, the statute of limitations is up. The movie's like 10 years old. Is that real? Jim, is the green juice real or is that just a movie thing? Jim said before last night he thought it was just a movie. Now he thinks it's real. He's up on stage screaming again. And folks, I'm being kind of silly about it, but this is hilarious. He's now saying, not only is he not leaving, he's now demanding a second debate. This is like Jim, permission to make an analogy? Granted? Okay, he's always the word. You know what this reminds me of? This is like Michael Spinks in the locker room after the Tyson fight, going, I need a rematch, bro. Jim, how long did that fight last? 91 seconds. It was over. Imagine Spinks in the locker room. It was close. It was close. I need a rematch. You know, no, even better. It's like Peter McNeely. Remember Hurricane Peter McNeely? The first fight back for Tyson after the prison thing? McNeely lost in, what was it, like 30 seconds? McNeely should have been in the locker room. He should have screamed like Biden. I beat Big Papa. What is that? Dude, it's a boxing match, not a rap-up. I want a rematch. He wants a second debate? Holy Moses. You know what? Here, I got it. What's the second debate? The second debate's ABC, I think, in August. If I were Donald Trump, here's what I would do. See, we're in charge now. You ever see that Bane clip from the Dark Knight movies? Do you feel like you're in charge? You feel like you're in charge now, Reverend Kane? Do you? Because you're not. We're in charge now. We gave you a debate under your rules, and you sucked. You sucked worse than any human being has ever sucked in a presidential debate stage ever. You sucked so bad. You sucked so bad that sucky liberals who suck for a living professionally thought you sucked. So we're in charge now. Now, I'd like your feedback on this. September 10th. Now, if I'm the Donald Trump team, I hope they're listening. He's done screaming now, by the way, folks. Now he's lost on stage again. He doesn't know who he's waving to. He's like, oh, hey, look, I'm waving out there to my good friend, the former Grand Wizard Exalted Cyclone. Oh, he's dead, Robert Burr. He died, Joe. You eulogized him, Robert Burr. He's not around. Oh, sorry. He's not even from North Carolina, dude. Here's what I say now. Jim, what do you think of this? I'm the Donald Trump team. I go, no, no, we're in charge now. We did the debate under your rules. We gave you everything you wanted. Muted microphones, no audience, two Russian PP tape hoaxers for moderators. We gave you a liberal network. We gave you everything, and you sucked. Because you suck. That's what you do best when you're not sniffing kids. You're really good at that. It's a lot of sniffing in the Biden White House. Oh, that's it. That's everything. Those olfactory bulbs and muscles and ethmoturbinates or whatever, they're working really good. I'm Donald Trump. I say, nah, we're in charge now. We're not doing that ABC debate no more. You want a debate? Fine. Let's do it next month. Here's the moderators. We're going to do one on my rules now. We're not muting the mics. Studio audience. You want a debate? I'll give it to you. Yeah. That's what I do. Why are we going to give this clown another debate? Why? And I know what you're thinking. Oh, damn, we should take it. We'll humiliate him further. What's the point? Then he drops out. Then all of a sudden there's some like, oh, medical emergency. I don't know. It looks like he's going to fall off the stage now. He's waving to Robert Byrd again. Robert Byrd's dead. The exalted cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan. He's gone, Joe. You eulogized him. I was there, remember? I was working that day. Dr. Jill's waving for him now. She's got to go do surgery. What do you think of my rules, Jim? We're in charge now. We're not doing the ABC debate. Sorry. We'll do a debate on Rumble or Truth or something like that. How's that sound? You want to show up, you clown, after that sucky performance last night? So Biden just gave the speech, and we were listening during the break, so you don't have to. Because it was just nothing but, oh, big papa. Oh, yeah, we get it, bro. We get it. Please stop screaming. You're really annoying. You know, what is that? Jordan Peterson, he always says the first rule of raising kids is just make sure they're not annoying. Whoever did that for Biden absolutely failed. He hilariously said, oh, my gosh, Trump lied. And I said, really? Trump lied. Trump lied. Jim, if you would, I think you pulled this cut. Is this, it's what is that, Newsmax? Or, oh, no, it's CNN. So crazy. So CNN is a fact checker. Daniel Dale is a hyper partisan. Cut six, Jim has on. I haven't heard that. I don't know what it, I don't do any work on the show. These guys, I just show up and these guys randomly. Was up this morning. Working out, getting my stuff ready. And I found this little gem. Here's CNN's fact checker. Who was really lying last night on the stage? Take a listen.
He said he's the only president in a while who didn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world. Troops have, of course, died on his watch. He said he's put in a $15 per shot cap on insulin and Medicare. It's a $35 a month cap. He said it's a $200 cap on overall drug spending in Medicare. It's $2,000 a year. He said the border now has fewer crossings than when Trump was in office. That's generally not true. He said, or at least strongly suggested, unemployment was at 15% when he took office. It was actually 6.4. He said Trump wants to get rid of Social Security. Trump doesn't. He said billionaires pay 8.2% in taxes. It's much higher. He said Trump told Americans to inject bleach amid COVID. We know Trump made foolish comments about scientists studying disinfectant injection, but didn't frame it as advice to people. And Biden said the Border Patrol endorsed him. No, it's union supported the border bill he supported, never endorsed him himself.
Dude, the debate was only 90 minutes with a commercial break. How do you squeeze that many lies in? Bro, that's CNN. That's not OANN. That's CNN's fact checker. The guy's a communist. And he's like, man, this guy's really full of crap. Joe Biden calling someone a liar. That is freaking hilarious. I took Corn Pop in the back. I whoop his ass. He was a UFC fighter. He was a bad dude. I went to the black church on Sunday, then my church, then the night before to synagogue. Then I went to the mosque the day later. And I went there with my Polish friends who raised me. And then the next day with my Puerto Rican family who raised me too. And then with the black family who joined me as a civil rights activist, when I was arrested, going to see Nelson Mandela in South Africa, while I was wiping oil slicks off my window, throwing touchdown passes as the skate scoring champion. I was a letterman. And then they wanted me to play lacrosse because I was such a soft hands, 160 pounder, but I couldn't do it because the seasons conflicted, despite the fact that they're not conflicting. And then I drove trucks. And then when I was done driving trucks, I rode 62 million miles on Amtrak because a dead conductor told me so after the Secret Service threatened to shoot him. This all happened. And I finished at the top of my class in law school. Then I had 3 degrees. I was voted the outstanding student, despite no student noticing you ever. No less, you were outstanding for one reason. You were groping people and sniffing the kids on the campus. You were the outstanding sniffer. Your family's good at sniffing. Very good. You seem to be good at showering and sniffing. And yet Donald Trump's the liar. Donald Trump's the liar. Seemed to be a lot of sniffing in the White House. You know that white powdery stuff? Yeah, talcum powder. Is there a lawsuit over that? No, that's not talcum powder. Talcum powder. Oh, that's cocaine. Oh, sorry. I thought it was about powder. I thought that was Trump's White House. It was Biden. Yeah, Biden's White House. I thought Trump was the chaos guy. Okay. That's so crazy, man. Cocaine in the White House. And Dr. Jill, surgical residents, like, yeah, man, there's so much integrity here. So much integrity. Wait, integrity, how? What exactly has Joe Biden told you the truth about? You realize in just a 90-minute debate where he spoke maximum for about 40 minutes, he lied about every significant issue. He lied about the border. He lied about health care. He lied about tax rates. He lied about what millionaires and billionaires pay. He lied about a Border Patrol endorsement. This is a great one here. Jim, play this one. This is a class. This is an instant classic. It's only 12 seconds. Here's cut 4. He just makes up out of thin air that the Border Patrol endorsed him. It was so bad, Jim, that during the debate, the Border Patrol Union tweeted this out. They're at BP Union, if you think I'm making this up. To be clear, we never have and never will endorse Joe Biden. Someone should tell Joe Biden because he said this last night. Check this out.
We significantly increased the number of asylum officers. Significantly, by the way, the Border Patrol endorsed me, endorsed my position. In addition to that, we found ourselves in a situation where when he was president, he was taking
he was endorsed by the Border Patrol Union. That is a classic. They actually tweeted out in the middle of the debate, we don't want anything to do with this loser. We never endorse this idiot. How bad does it have to be in the middle of the debate? They have to tweet out, just to be clear, we never endorse this guy. And by the way, Jim, do you notice the other one? They never will. They're like, just in case you have any doubts, no matter what happens, we still won't endorse this loser. Dude, Reverend Cain is falling apart, man. He is falling apart. We're all gonna die. He was, how bad this is. There he is. He was, you didn't know he was an actor in Poltergeist 2. Now you know. How bad does it have to be when Chuck Todd, the muskrat, sniveling muskrat, Chuck Todd. Jim, cue up for me, cut 9. Here's Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd's like, bro, what just happened? Chuck Todd's crying. You need a diaper change. Chuck Todd, the sniveling muskrat. Check this out.
You know, one of the things was, would either candidate look like the caricature that the other campaign has been trying to paint of him? And at the end of the day, Joe Biden looks like the caricature that conservative media has been painting. And there were no clips tonight, right? This was, you saw it before your eyes. Look, I don't want to just tell you what I think here, Tom. I've been talking to a lot of leaders in the Democratic Party, electeds, coalition leaders. There's a full-on panic about this performance. Not like, oh, this is recoverable. It is more of a, okay, he's got to step aside. There's a lot of that chatter. This is about as bad of a performance in order to that Biden could have delivered if his goal was to try to sort of calm the waters among Democrats.
You know, I get it. You know, shouting fraud, it's not a good thing. It's probably not morally healthy. I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying every second of this meltdown. Because we told these imbeciles, your guy is a moron. He's corrupt. He sniffs kids. He's got millions of dollars coming into his family from nuclear-powered enemies of the United States. And you were like, you guys are conspiracy theorists. Now the muskrat's like, oh, what happened? People are panicking. No, we're not panicking. We're not panicking at all. You idiots are panicking. We're not. We told you. We warned you, morons. You said when he was stumbling around, looking like he's taking a dump in his diaper, you're like, that's a cheap fake. He's not crapping himself. Maybe he's not. I don't know. I don't even know if he wears diapers. But he looks like it. And maybe when you got issues with your being senile, you don't want to walk around looking like you're taking a dump on yourself. Just try not. Don't squat. Every parent knows the look, okay? I don't know what happened in his pants. I'm not interested. I stay out of people's pants, unlike Joe Biden. All right? But maybe don't look like you're taking a dump. And maybe people won't talk about it. We warned you, idiots. We warned you. You're like, oh, they're cheap fakes. Thanks for joining the weekend show. We really appreciate it. If you want to listen to the radio show where I do those interviews a couple times a week, go to Bongino.com station finder, click on the radio station near you, or you can watch every single day. You can watch the radio show at rumble.com/Bongino. See you there.
You just heard Dan Bongino.